This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
We're back.
You're back. Yes, but we're back. I'm back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Lon back to the U.S. He just got back from a trip. Lon, tell us more.
I just came back from Japan. It was awesome. I didn't come back with anybody to have a 90-day K-1 visa wedding with. The trip was with my girlfriend, our daughter, and some of her family. And yeah, looking forward to going again. It was a great trip.
Nice. And did you have really good food and meet really nice people? And
yes, had amazing food. Everywhere you go, there's food. Well, at least where we stayed. Well, actually, no, just everywhere, pretty much. There's just amazing food everywhere. There's Wagyu stops everywhere. There's tuna everywhere. They're big on skewers. So skewers are everywhere.
Is that like yakitori?
Yakitori and yeah. Just anything. They'll skewer anything. There's like chicken skin is a popular one that, you know, you'll see. Yeah. And then lots of Japanese whiskeys that I tried. I would say one of the highlights, if not the highlight of the trip, was going to a mini pig cafe. So they have all kinds of animal cafes, y'all. There's like,
no.
There's like an otter cafe, a mini pig cafe, obviously. There's a Shiba Inu cafe, a cat cafe. There's even like a zoo animal cafe. But we read the reviews and people said, oh, the animals are so crowded. It looks really sad and it looks like they're in captivity. So we don't recommend this one. And I was like, okay. So we went to the otter one and the mini pig one, both really good. And for me, the mini pig was the highlight. So they give you a blanket and I grabbed the blanket. Literally, as soon as I sat down and put the blanket on my lap, within seconds, this little mini pig like crawled up onto my lap and slept, and I couldn't move. It's like getting cat paralysis, pretty much, right? And it just slept in my lap for our entire 30-minute appointment. So you can do appointments of like 30 minutes to an hour. Obviously, it's popular. There's people waiting who also have appointments. So yeah, for 30 minutes straight, just kept petting it and questioning whether I should become vegan. I just felt bad for it. Like once you connect with an animal, it changes so much. And I'm like, all right, if I don't become vegan, I at least need to put more conscious effort into ethical food sourcing. And I just really wanted this pig to grow up and have a wonderful life. And yeah, it was so cute.
Oh no. I'm sure you're going to feel conflicted the next time you eat a
pork.
Yeah. Just I was pork. Trying to find the Tagalog word for pork. Oh gosh. It's
like a dish.
Me.
There's pork adobo. Like adobo is a popular dish, but
adobo is the sauce. Like what is
yeah.
Not chicharron. Obviously that's Spanish, but like. Oh,
chicharron is Filipino too. Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the Spanish words we integrated into our culture, obviously.
What is that food truck that, oh my God,
I remember. Sisig.
Yeah. So when
yeah, senior Sisig.
Yeah, when you eat Sisig again, I hope you think about.
Oh no.
Oh my God. Now that you said there's Otter Cafe, oh my God, I'm so there. I'm there already. I want to go there. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, No, that's great. We're glad that you had a great time and you had a good break. You know, always great to travel and see the world, so, and have good food and enjoy public transit. Let's get started on what you've been missing out on, which is two boring episodes of 90 Day Fiancé, apparently. You know, filler episodes, right? Shall we start with Sophie and Rob?
I actually thought there was some good things to talk about with Sophie and Rob. Okay, so obviously one of the biggest things was, at least that I think with the beginning episode or the episode 2 weeks ago, was the list, right? And I just think he was just trying to be constructive. I think it's healthy to say, okay, here are, like, even before you get married, they tell you, okay, what are, not boundaries, what's the word I'm thinking of? What are, like, the things you can have that are like, I need this in a relationship? What are the things that are kind of like compromisable, you know? And I think that in some form, that's what he was trying to accomplish. He went about it the wrong way, right? Mm. If she were coming over and I wanted to have this kind of thing, I would have said, all right, let's write down things for us that we want in this relationship, some things that we can compromise on. And just things that are like, no, this is what I want from you and this is what I need from you. And, you know, this isn't a new exercise. Couples have done this before and they get to read what their partner says and things like that. But rather than invite her to do some kind of activity like that, he presents her with this list of seemingly demands, right? Yeah. Of course. And it's just like, oh, that's not going to come off the right way. But I think that was his goal, was to just be like, here's what I need from you that you're not giving me, and if we could work on this. And then later on, once they've already turned it into a full-blown argument, he fits it in. He's like, well, you can write one too, or something like that. And I'm like, you should have led with that, because now it just seems like a one-sided thing. And of course she's going to get defensive, you know. And I don't know if it was on the list or if he mentioned it, but he said she uses too much toilet paper.
I know, and they argued about that, right?
They argued about it. So here's the thing, y'all. Like, I understand the toilet paper thing, okay? Uh-oh. Like, I don't share a bathroom with women, so I don't know how much toilet paper women use. I understand women have different needs and things like this. All I'm saying is our family grew up poor, okay? So, like, I remember when I was a young kid, I remember, you know, like, I was sick or something, and my aunt was there, like, you know, with the door open, obviously. And she saw me just taking all this toilet paper, because I didn't know. Guys, it's going to get a little juvenile here. Excuse me, right? So, yeah, I was taking a dump, right? And I didn't know how to use toilet paper. So I just grabbed a ton of it. I was unrolling it, and I just crumpled it up, right? And she was shocked. She was like, no, that's not how you use it, you know? And I was very young, guys, okay? So she had to teach me, like, you don't just grab all of it and then crumple it into a ball and wipe yourself with it. So she had to teach me, like, you know, how to use it and conserve it. And this is how you, you know, wrap it. And, like, all I'm saying, my point being, is that I grew up poor. I know what it's like to be like, yo, is that how you're using toilet paper? Like, you know, so when he made that complaint and he was like, you just did it, you crunk. He shouldn't have put her on blast about that, because that's actually kind of embarrassing to put your partner on blast like that. But I just made a mental note, because he brought me back to when I was a child and that's what I did. And I was like, is that how she uses toilet paper? So I kind of get that, like, yo, I'm reminded that she has a different standard of living. Maybe in her previous life in the UK, toilet paper is nothing and it doesn't matter. I'll use a whole roll in one sitting if I have to. You know, it's nothing to me. But Rob ain't like that. Yeah, but you know what I mean? So I just wanted to say, like, I understand where he came from with that.
Lon, did you skip the tabao, you know, phase of your, you know, your sanitary life or something? Like, I feel like I want to say I grew up poor and we use water. Like, I honestly never encounter toilet paper until, like, much, much later in my adult life, because, you know, back in Asia, we all have some form of bidet, not your French bidet, but some form of, like, water spray that you can use to clean your tush, you know, so we don't have
to waste. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yeah, we don't have to waste. I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Toilet paper.
I'm westernized. A lot of my early childhood was spent, and I I don't have a memory of that. But yes, you are correct. But we didn't have that once we came to America. We didn't have that. But it's funny you mentioned that because, yes, in Japan, a bidet is like the default.
Standard, right?
It's standard. Every public restroom. There was like one public restroom that didn't have one. And I was shocked. That's how many public restrooms have one, is I was shocked when I didn't encounter one. Mm. And yeah, they're there. And it made me wonder, man, do they come to America and go, geez, Americans' asses just are just dirty and they stink. I can't believe they don't wash their asses here. Yeah. Because a bidet is the standard, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just surprised that a first world country like US hasn't adopted the bidet because, like, look, guys, I get it. You know, you may think that the paper can really clean everything, but then why don't you clean your body with paper? You shower, you bathe, like, that's water. It cleans you. Why do you use paper to clean the dirtiest part of your body?
We're savages here. I can't believe it. In a first world country. We're over here looking down at other countries, but we're the ones that don't wash our asses.
Yeah, like, get that shit together, guys, before you spread your U.S. imperialism. Anyway, I was actually shocked when Rob put her on blast about the toilet paper because I'm like, do you really have to? That's so private. Yeah. Like, that woman might be having some sort of constipation or something and you just had to, like, put her on blast. And that list is so patronizing to me. Like, maybe it's the way he approached it too. It's not just the content, but the way he approached it. Like you said, if he had led with, let us both sit down and come up with our wants and needs or whatever, right? Like, as a couple, like, how can we move forward with this marriage? Let's come up with, like, do's and don'ts, wants and needs, or, you know, likes and dislikes. And yeah, work on that. But I think in his mind, he's like, well, as long as I say things that I think she wants to hear, then all's good. But clearly she's so turned off by it. She literally make a U-turn.
As I rip off some roses from a bush,
right,
and lead with that, just stick it on top of the list. Lead with that first.
That was such a bad move when he said, like, yeah, I had to stop by the roadside and pick this up from someone's bushes. And I'm like, what? You had to steal roses? Like, that's not romantic, dude.
It seems like he's putting an effort, but it's not, a lot of effort.
Yeah.
That's not even, I don't know if I would consider that bare minimum. That was almost like an afterthought.
Right.
Like, he did the list first, and then he was like, oh, this isn't going to go well. Let me get some flowers. And rather than go to a florist, right?
Yeah.
He was driving and he saw a rose bush or whatever. He didn't even dethorn it. She started bleeding.
Exactly. Gosh, Rob the slob, Rob the knob.
Yeah. Are we going to get into the following episode?
Yeah. I mean, my call out for the recent episode is the fact that, well, first of all, I thought the line dancing thing was cute, right? Going to learn how to line dance. I mean, that's a cute couple activity. The moment she said, oh, you remember my best friend, Caleb? I was like, oh, here comes the storyline. Here comes the made-up conflict, right?
He's a plant. Do you think he's a plant?
Oh, yeah. Like, totally. I question whether they're actually friends. Like, I don't know if this is a paid actor.
So did I.
You know, like, do they really go way back? But my call out is the fact that Sophie introduced Rob as Rob and not her husband.
I was like, I didn't catch that.
Yeah. And then the other thing I want to mention is that I feel bad for Rob because if Sophie is truly a bisexual, now he has to not only worry about Kay, he has to worry about Caleb. So he has to worry about both of her friends, right? Because he's already suspecting something's up. And if I were in his shoes, like, knowing that my partner is bisexual, I'm like, okay, which one of these two is she cheating with me on? You know, like, I'm not saying that Sophie is cheating, but I'm just saying, like, I would be worried. Right, because he can go both ways, or either way, sorry. So, but anyway, that's just my conjecture right there. How about you?
Yeah, guys? I also wondered if he was a plant or if he was just somebody that they wanted to introduce for additional drama. That also crossed my mind, because it's just like, yeah, you remember the fun we had? And he's just being very general. And then he drops, you know, that we dated for a little bit line. And if that's true, I think she definitely should have mentioned that for sure. Even if it was minute, if it was minute, even more reason to mention it. Like, look, he's a friend. We dated for a little bit, but it was nothing serious. Because if you don't divulge the information up front, automatically, especially with a guy like Rob, who I already believe is an insecure, he was already insecure at the fact that Calum was coming. So automatically, I know that his head is thinking, did y'all sleep together? Automatically, that's what we're going to assume. If someone tells me, oh, we dated for a bit, that's where my mind's going to go. It's not where my mind goes. I'm older now and I don't care now, right? Whatever you did before we met, before our relationship. But for a guy like Rob, that's automatically where his mind went. You could tell right away he needed a breather. He was like, I need to get up. But yeah, so I wouldn't have let it bother me. If I were Rob, I wouldn't have let that bother me. I would have kept it in my pocket. And now I have a card that I can pull out and say, hey, don't get mad at me. Remember when you did this and I didn't say anything? Now it's time to talk about it. And what happened? You know what I mean? If you're going to get mad at me for this, well, you know, now I have, it's not necessarily a get out of jail free card, but it's definitely something that he can use to like reverse Uno a situation. If she ever talks about his dishonesty or withholding information, you know what I mean? It's like, hey, you're over here getting mad at me for this shit, but why didn't you tell me this before he came? Or why didn't you prepare me?
Before we move on, I just want to, well, call out, I guess, that I think there are rumors that Rob and Sophie are no longer together. There's also a rumor that Rob and Sophie are now slated to be in the next season of The Last Resort. So we kind of know where this is going.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I already don't watch The Last Resort, but I don't know if that's a compelling enough reason for me to start. We'll see how this season goes.
Yeah. Also, newsflash, a lot of the couples that went to The Last Resort are still together anyway, or came out of it being together. So it's almost like, you know, they kind of fake all of us, defrauded all of us. Like, they just want us to watch a show about them arguing, but this time with a therapist close by. But they still got out of it being a couple. Like, everyone renewed their vows, or they promised to, like, be better and all that. So, I don't know. I feel like The Last Resort is almost like a scam.
It's just part of the pipeline, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's totally part of the 90-day pipeline.
True. All right, moving on to Ashley and Manuel. What is that book, Lon?
Oh.
I refuse to believe that she doesn't know what that book is. Like, stop it.
Yeah.
Even an atheist would know what that book is. You go into a church. What do you think that book is?
Right.
What do you think that open book at the front is? Tell me. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, come on. You don't have to go to religious school or, like, you know, a Christian school or whatever. You know what that book is.
Right. It would have been different if, like, if it was like the Torah or something, right? Yeah. Or maybe even if it was the Quran. Like, okay, but like, come on.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And by the way, I didn't catch this, but maybe you did, Lon. Are the rest of her family Christians?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
Because I think she might be the only witch in her family. If that's the case, what the hell are you asking that question?
Yeah.
Why? Yep. Like, I'm pretty sure your mom, I'm not trying to be presumptuous here. I don't want to stereotype or anything. But if I'm a betting person, I would bet that her family is predominantly Christian.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hey, I would love for them to prove me wrong. I really would. But otherwise, I would say like 99.999% probably Christian. She has seen the Bible growing up. Probably.
Definitely asking us to suspend our disbelief.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a lot. This is a stretch, y'all.
Yeah. And then what about her speaking Spanish to the American deacon? I know he's bilingual, right? Supposedly, because I feel like he didn't really reply or speak in Spanish to them. But he spoke in English, when he replies, like, I think he understood Manuel maybe a little bit, and then he replied in English. I don't know what's up with Ashley speaking in Spanish too.
Yeah. And the mass was even in English, wasn't it? Like, weren't they, when it went to the shots of the priest and the clergymen, they were speaking English. But maybe it was in consideration because Manuel was there, and maybe to be considerate.
Yeah, they sent the one guy that passed his sixth grade Spanish or something.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong, but...
Yeah, for me, I think it's interesting that they brought this in, and it showed how, I guess, resistant. So before the church scene, like, it showed how, not really resistant. He went along with it after a while, but he did kind of put up a fight when she was asking him to do these rituals and things like that.
The bath and like, or something? Yeah.
Yeah. The and what I wanted to point out, right, is he does this and he doesn't know it. And I think as Christians, we're conditioned to think all these things are like witchcraft. But we have these in our own religion. Like,
and the deacon pointed that out too, is that there's elements of paganism in Christianity, if you think about it.
Right. So this ritual bath, that's exactly what baptism is, y'all. And I'm pretty sure other Christians or Catholics realize that. Like, oh, we don't do this. Yes, we do. We totally do. That's what a baptism is. That, like, oh, what's this with this water and taking this like spiritual like bath? You're already saying it. That's what a baptism is, y'all. They wash you in holy water, or sometimes they even dunk you in
it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, do you not practice your religion, or what do you not know about Catholicism? There's so many different rituals that we would consider, or that people would consider magic, if they weren't Catholic and we were telling them about our religion. It's all magic. You know, Jesus turning water into wine is magic, y'all. Him feeding like an entire crowd with what, 2 fish and 3 loaves of bread is magic, y'all. There's magic all. We just call it miracles.
Yes.
But it's magic. Like, that's all it is. And like, it just reminded me, like, kind of the disconnect there, how we, not all of us, but I'm sure Christians think, oh, that's magic and that's bad. It's all magic. We just renamed it, you know?
Rebranded it. It's all about branding.
We rebranded it. Yeah, it's about branding. It's about marketing.
The other funny thing about the two of them is, I think he said he wanted to visit his relative in Newark, not New York.
Newark? It's not the same as Nueva York. New York.
That part is funny.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how, because Ashley complained about the fact that they now have to change the flight. And I thought, wait a minute, aren't they in upstate New York? Like, can they just drive? And then it
drive
turns out
there.
It's actually, it's almost like a 1.5 hour flight. So it's about a 3-5 hour drive, if you think about it, from Rochester to Manhattan. And then if you want to cross over to New Jersey, yeah, it's even longer. So it makes sense that they took a flight. But anyway, so go ahead, Lon.
I was going to ask this because I know you've been through it. When there's a difference in religions, and it's not as extreme, obviously, as Manuel and Ashley, but coming from their situation where he's afraid to let his parents know what her beliefs are, quote unquote, I know this is definitely something you've had experience with. Do you just not say? Do you lie? Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, y'all. And I think everyone has their own approach. So for me, there is no right or wrong. For me, I would definitely have to lie. And I hate to do that. It definitely depends. But if my girlfriend at the time was a witch, you know, there's just certain things. If you want our relationship to succeed, my mom is super devout and we got to lie. I'm sorry, like, but we got to lie about this. And I'm sure it's different, but that's like telling my mom that you worship the devil or that you're an atheist, and that wouldn't fly. You know what I mean? And like I said, your situation isn't as extreme as that, but how did you and Manny like handle that?
I think we're still handling it.
handling it. You're right. It's difficult.
It's difficult. Yeah. Because every time we would go over to Singapore to visit my relatives, my aunt will pull me aside and be like, so has he converted yet? And then she would even go as far as trying to push the Quran to him. She'd be like, okay, well, I bought you guys the English translation of the Quran. Would you guys take it and read? And I'm like, yes, we will try our best, you know, like if God willing. I always say like, yeah, if God wills it, yeah, we will. If his heart opens up, yes, he will embrace the religion. And I think it will get difficult because, so this might be TMI, but my husband and I, we plan to raise our daughter, you know, we want to give her the freedom of religion. We want to not raise her a certain way. Like, yes, we would be celebrating our religious holidays, but that's more like we see that as a tradition, right? Like Christmas is celebrated by everyone, it seems, because it's like, you know, end of the year where people like take leave from work and everything. So it becomes like a holiday that's not quite religious. It's now more consumerist, if anything, but it has the family undertone, right? So we plan to raise her in a way where she can choose if she wants to belong to a religion or what religion she would like to pick when she grows up. So I think that's something that we as a parents consciously believe that's the freedom that we want to give her, because we know we were born into a religion. We didn't have a say. Like, you know, both my parents were Muslim. So like I was born a Muslim and it's not like I have a say, like I want to embrace another religion. It's like, I have no choice. Like they're both Muslim. And the same for you, Lon, I guess, you know, both your parents are Catholics, so you were born into a religion, right? So I think for our daughter, like, I want to make sure that she has the freedom to choose.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that would cause a lot of conflict and complication with family members who are very devout. And they'll be like, well, this is why we need one of you guys to convert, right? So like Manny would have to embrace Islam or I would have to embrace Christianity, because you want your child to embrace that one religion and not be split into any. But then my counter argument would be like, does she need to have a religion if we raise her to be a good human being?
You know, kind of like, where I'm at right now in my life.
Yeah. Like, can she still believe in God and not have to belong to a cult? I'm sorry, I'm calling religions a cult, you guys. Sorry, but an organized cult, right? Like a more harmonious, like less threatening cult. But does she have to belong to a religion? Does she have to, you know, subscribe to one? I would think that it's up to her, you know? That
I
separates
think
us
people
from...
can be good parents and raise a good person.
Yes. So. Yeah.
So you were truthful then.
I try to be truthful, but I think I kind of tiptoe around the situation too, because I'm not a confrontational person, right? Like I want to make sure I answer in the most respectful way. And I mean, conversely, like when I interact with my husband's family, like right now, the issue is they're insisting on getting her baptized. And I'm like, I don't care. I know deep down my daughter is going to go to heaven. It doesn't matter because I'm going to raise her as a good person to be a good person, right? So whether she get dunked into water or blessed with holy water, like she's just going to be a good person. It's symbolic. To me, it's symbolic. And I'm like, I don't care. It doesn't have any meaning to me. And I'm not trying to offend Christians or anything, but Muslims have probably the same type of ritual as well for babies and newborns. But again, they're all like ritual. They're just symbolic. There's stuff that we do to make us feel good about ourselves, I feel. You know, like you baptize your kid. Okay, so now you're a good parent because you guarantee her path to heaven. Either way, if the concept of baptism doesn't exist, I want my daughter to get to heaven if there is a heaven, right? Because as a parent, I want the best for my daughter. Whatever it is, we call it heaven here as a human on earth. It could be something. It could be paradise somewhere else. I don't know.
Nirvana.
Nirvana. Enlightenment. Yeah.
Enlightenment, right?
Yeah. Like, I want that for my daughter because as a parent, that's how much I love her. It's definitely a challenge. So, I mean, just to circle back, I feel like I understand why Manuel is feeling kind of cringy about trying to tell his very devout Catholic relatives that, hey, my wife's a witch. She believes in penis candle. Like, how can you say that with a straight face, right?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you don't have to say that, but I'm just saying, like, he's probably thinking it and he's probably like, oh, what do I tell them?
Yeah. I'm taking a spiritual bath because it's going to help me learn how to speak English. Yeah. Apparently, right? Is some of the conclusions we're coming to in the latest episode.
Right? Like, dude, he's not putting effort, though. I mean, the guy is like...
Yeah, that snippet where he was in the class.
Maybe we're biased because we're English speakers, but you can tell he struggles. Like, you know, and I get it. At that age, you know, I'm trying to teach myself a foreign language. Like, it's hard, dude. It's hard.
Yeah.
So giving him grace there.
Give him grace.
What about Nicole and Mahmoud?
Wait.
We're not supposed to talk about them.
I know.
What do we do?
It's the same problems. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Same problems.
Yeah.
It's the same problems.
Yeah. It's made up.
We can leave it at that.
Yeah. I feel like it's all made up anyway.
It's the same shit in a different place.
Yes.
That's all it is.
Same shit, different continent, you guys.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to Emily and Kobe. I guess one of the cutest couple in this season. But they're going to have a traditional wedding. I feel like they're playing up this storyline about her being a white woman, being a foreigner, bossing him around. He's getting the barber shop talk from his friend. I know it's not going anywhere because it's just made up drama.
Right. Yeah. It's like, okay, do y'all watch 90 Day Fiancé? Because not every woman is Angela, right? Yes. Or not every woman are the women that have been on the show who've dated black men or African men, right?
Like, yeah.
Because they have not been great representatives, to be fair, white women in America. Not everyone's bossy. Not everyone's like out to emasculate their husbands.
I felt that was an unfair judgment too, because I feel like it has nothing to do with skin color almost. It's like, you know.
That's true.
Anyone can be naggy. Anyone can be bossy, right? Anyone, any gender, you know?
Yes.
I mean, think about Nikki and Igor. Come on. So it's a non-issue. I just feel like I'm looking forward to the wedding because I want to see how it looks like, a Cameroonian traditional wedding. The side drama, that's just like pit stops along the way. I pay no mind. It's entertaining for sure. And I admire how endearing it can get because the friends like going to the barbershop and like, so how do you like married to a white woman? And I'm like, okay, marriage is marriage, you know, woman is
to
woman.
To me, it's part of the formula, right?
Yeah.
Every time let's have a scene where they go out with their friends and their buddies are like, hey, you're not going to be happy with those American women. They're like this, and right? You know how we are. Yeah. In our country, the guys are the thing. You know what I mean? And it's just like, this again? Like, we don't already fucking get it. How many seasons into 90 Day Fiancé are we in? Like,
yeah.
This is like the formula is, oh, let's have you with a scene with your buddies where they tell you how your woman's going to emasculate you. Like, this is so dumb.
And also, I almost feel like that's the same narrative that they paint African men to be, that they're still in this very patriarchal state of mind. And maybe that's true. Maybe. But I caution TLC from overusing that formula because now they're painting this stereotype on African men. Like, sure. I'm pretty sure Kobe has, you know, the fact that he's able to be objective about this, like, he knows he married her knowing that she's not going to take shit from him.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows, like, he's able to, I wouldn't say juggle, but he just knows how to, like, play the game, I guess. Like, you know, it's his wife. He knows what she's like. So he's able to compromise, right? You can tell that he's no longer in that same state of mind as the rest of his buddies. But I feel like they kept playing that up every time there's a 90 Day Fiancé from Africa. Like, the African men would be very patriarchal. Like, even, you know, like Mahmoud, for example, right? They play up the whole patriarchal, you know, like the woman has to be subservient, cannot talk back. And you know what? Maybe that might be true. But just, I wish they would not play that up.
Yeah. And a majority of the time, it's them that are the ones getting bullied. It's them that are the ones getting the drinks thrown in their face. It's them that are the ones where the women are screaming up in there. Yeah. And I'm just like, why do we have to have this conversation?
Yeah.
But I like when she was, well, like, I use that as a soft term, when she's like, I don't understand how things got to where this is. Like, I do. You asked. You asked what they talked about. Look, ladies, don't ask what guys talk about. That's what we talk about. Just like women talk about, look, it's natural for women to go with their friends and vent about their partners, vent about their husbands. It's the same way with men. And she's just like, oh, no, you can tell me. You can tell me. Like,
I know.
What did she fucking expect?
Yeah.
I don't know how we got here. Yeah, you do. You asked what he talked about with his buddies.
That date went south so quick.
Yeah. I'm like, come on. Come on, Emily.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready to talk about the couple that we like to hate watch?
Oh my gosh. That's such a good way to put it. You're screwed in your dumb head. Oh, Gino. I don't know if this is acting anymore. Like,
he just lost it.
But then he could really be angry, and that's how he expresses himself. I couldn't tell anymore.
Yeah.
He's just like, no, you're screwed up in your dumb head.
Yeah.
But I understand his frustration. Look, y'all, this guy is broke. We've gone over this before. He's unemployed. She's talking about, you know, babies and a house, you know, on top of spending lavishly on her surgeries, right? And then now she's asking him to put $5,000 on a lawyer and stuff. Like, I get it. I get the intense pressure he's in. And she frames it like he just doesn't care, which is wrong.
Yeah, that right? He's not a good father or something.
Yeah, like, yeah, you don't care insulting. About me. You don't care about my life and my children, blah. No, it's financial. Can you separate this? And I hope it is. I hope it's just like acting, and he knows that. Because I don't want this to be real for him to believe that his wife actually believes that he doesn't give a shit about her or her kids. But that's how she frames it, and she says it, and then she brings on the tears, you know, talking about all this stuff, spending $5,000 and saying he doesn't care, all the while she's crying into her hand with a Rolex on it. I'm like, you've got
what?
Yeah. She's wearing a Rolex and she's asking him to put $5,000 down. Yeah.
Stop. Did you zoom in? Is that what it is?
I could tell from it.
Shit. Yeah. And it's not the black market?
It might be. It might be. I've only seen one post, because as soon as I saw that, I said, wait, is that a Rolex? And then I Googled, Jasmine wears Rolex. And sure enough, there was a Reddit post.
Damn.
And it showed her flexing, right? But people in the comments were like, oh, it wasn't just a Rolex. She had a Chanel bag and stuff. And then people in the comments were all, oh, yeah, that's got to be fake. The stitching on that bag and the hardware would never fly. And somebody, one person commented, maybe two, commented on the Rolex and was like, yeah, and that Rolex, a real one would say date this. And there's people who are, I'm not super into watches. I understand, like, the watch game. I can understand that on a superficial level, but I'm not into it where I can identify what makes a Rolex real and what makes it fake or whatever. I'm just saying the irony of not understanding the financial situation when there's just so much money you've spent on yourself is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah. I'm looking at that post that says, not Jasmine crying about $5,000 while wearing a Rolex, lol.
Oh, see, that's not the post I came upon, but somebody posted that recently.
And of course, like, way below that comment, it's, there's always toe sucking.
Almost spat out my wine.
Damn, dude. People are vicious. Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you, Lon. You know how she's always been weaponizing going back to Panama? Like, she's always been using that as a threat, right?
Yeah.
Against Gino. Do you think this time is for real? Or is it still an act?
I think it's for the show. Look, don't get me wrong. I understand being a mother, wanting to see your kids and having a genuine need to take care of your kids and want to be with your kids. So I don't want to say that she's faking it and that she doesn't want to see her kids. I think if this is real, that she definitely wants to see her kids. Sure. She would definitely want her kids to be there. And if she had the means, she would go to Panama right now. That's separate from me understanding that TLC needs a storyline for them. Mm-hmm. And I just think this is part of the story. Unfortunately, it's hard for me to take them serious now just because of the theatrics, you know. And she's like, this is the first time I've seriously considered. No, it's not. You threaten him with this all the time. What do you mean this is the first time you've seriously considered this? You always say this shit. It's hard for me. The fact that I'm laughing, like, it's hard for me to take them seriously.
Yeah.
But I think it's part of the show. It's, I wouldn't say it's all an act, but I just think it's scripted drama.
Yeah.
For sure.
And that's what tugs at me too, because I'm like, and on one hand, I want to believe that as a mom myself, like if I would put myself in her shoes, I would definitely cry a river trying to beg my partner to bring my kids over or wanting to see my kids. But then like, because it's Jasmine and seeing what she prioritized. Again, I think we talked about this in our last recording. Like, I just have compassion fatigue with her. Mm. Like, I don't buy it anymore. Yeah. You know, it's like how I don't buy when a Kardashian cry. They cry in like, you know, influencer money. Like, no, I don't buy it anymore. Like, I don't know why. I'm not saying I'm less human here, but I'm just, the sincerity is not there anymore. And like you say, it is likely scripted, right? Having said that, let's move to what the uncle said. Gino's uncle, the way he viewed the situation, it makes sense as well. So I see both sides, right? Like I get it. Mm-hmm. Already spent on the wedding and all that money that he sent to her along the way, you know, applying for the visa is not cheap. Also, let me put a pin on that and sidetrack a little bit. I did look through the K-1 visa application form. There is nothing on it that allows you to put your children's name. Mm. So it has to be like you have to apply for a different application that you may have to do it together probably. But if you solely talk about a K-1 visa, that is strictly a fiancé visa. That's not like a family visa. Totally different. So I think the U.S. purposely do it that way because they just want to get the immediate family in first and then the extended family, you can do that separately. Yeah, that's a separate cost. So it's not like you can get one and then the other person come in for free. I don't think that's the case. I mean, as much as I want to speak on this topic because I was a 90-day fiancé visa once upon a time. But at that time, I did not have kids. So obviously, when my then husband applied for my green card, you know, it was straightforward. It was just through marriage. But I actually did some research and I went through the CIS.gov website or something, you know, the immigration website. And looking at the K-1 visa, there isn't any section that you can put like your dependent or your kids that you want to bring in because it's strictly a fiancé visa. Again, like their storyline, it's a bit sus to me. But okay, going back to what I was about to make a point about is the uncle did say that even though you may not have the means, if you do have the means, it's worth spending it on bringing kids over, which I totally understand, right? Like you want to reunite a family. So I guess what he's also trying to say that if you're on your last dime, let that last dime be spent on bringing the family over. So
right. And how he said, look, you have a certain amount of years. That's really one of the best ways to frame it.
Yeah.
He said, by the time they're teenagers, they don't want anything to do with you. So yeah. Really, you only have this window.
Yeah.
And they're already this old. And like, of course, you're going to want to spend that time. And if Gino is smart, which I think he is, but I don't know if it's going to be part of the plot. He should take advantage of this opportunity to have a serious financial discussion with Jasmine and finally be able to get the things he needs, right? So I would say, look, I know where we can get $5,000. It's going to mean we can't have a kid. It's going to mean maybe we don't move into a new house right away. It might even mean we don't get a new fucking bed and all this. Didn't she want him to get a new bedroom or whatever? Like, look, and this is how to do it, Gino. Something's got to give. And that's how you got to say it. Like, something's got to give. We don't have money. And if this is what we're going to prioritize, then maybe the new bed in the house get put on hold, or maybe having another child gets put on hold. But something's got to give. We have limited resources. And instead, he's just like, no, there's a way to compromise this. You got to knock some sense into Jack. Well, I don't want to say it like that. When I say knock some sense into it, obviously, I'm not talking about domestic abuse. I mean, you got to have Jasmine like come to the realization that you have limited financial resources and she can't have everything. And yeah, you want her children to be in the United States, but it's going to come at the cost of a new bed, possibly a new house, or having a baby right away.
You know, the other thing that while you were talking to Lon is I was wondering, so one of the criteria to bring someone over as a fiancé is you have to prove to the U.S. government that you're able to support this person.
Mm.
He's unemployed. Is he putting himself as an actor?
Yeah. She can't get a job yet, right?
Yeah,
what's the limitation on that? Some years?
She probably can now because she has a green card. The fact that she...
Oh, it's the green card that makes it. Okay.
Yeah. So that's essentially a work visa. But then I wonder how... Well, I guess they would have to call themselves actors, you know, like paid actors, right? Because otherwise, I don't know how they're going to bring the kids over, because you have to prove that you're able to support the people that you're bringing over to the US. So I don't know. This is questions to ask.
Gino can have a feet finder and Jasmine can have an OnlyFans.
Right?
Ugh. Time to get that extra cash.
Oh, gosh. Oh, ugh. All right, so we've come to the end of our coverage of the 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After Season 8. Gosh, I think this is episode 4 and 5. Maybe I'm wrong. Sorry, I came unprepared here. But anyway, Lon, what's your WTF moment?
You know, there wasn't a lot, at least anything that was really like knock your socks off, like WTF for me in these two episodes. I think for me it was Calum, and only because I think if this whole thing is real, one, she should have been more forthcoming about, even if it was a little thing that they dated, and two, how I guess unaccommodating or how do I phrase this? Calum could have done more, I think, to make Rob feel comfortable about the relationship. And that's not something I got into, but I'll get into it now as a WTF. If I were Calum and I realized, oh shit, you didn't tell him, immediately I'd have got up, found Rob and said, look, nothing happened.
Right.
It was small. I just want you to know it was nothing. Like, even go as far as to say, look, if it makes you feel better, we didn't do the dirty or whatever. Like, yeah. If it really is nothing, I'd want him to fucking know that. Yeah. I'd be like, look, it was nothing. It seriously was nothing. We realize we're just better off as friends. And instead, Calum is being that guy that's like, I don't think you're good enough. You know what I mean? And he's just like, is everything okay over here? You know, it's going into kind of like that he's going to be a villain or whatever. And I'm just like, I don't really like where this is going. He could be better about it and she could have been more honest. So that was my WTF.
Didn't he say she turns out to be his wingman?
Yeah. But I don't think that negates that they dated.
Right. Because they said they reminisce about Portugal or something.
Yeah. And he's kind of like, we had so much. It's one of those things where
he just rubs it in the face.
Yeah. He throws in that they're friends, but he's at the same time, he's low key doing things intentionally to make Rob comfortable about it. Right. We had so much fun. You remember how much fun? Yeah. I mean, like, come on. You know what you're saying.
He'll be doing the most with the DLC money. All right, so my WTF is really simple. It's mostly Ashley and Manuel. Manuel just confusing Newark with New York.
In New York.
And, you know, Ashley being all like ignorant about what that book is.
Yeah.
They're the WTF moments for me these past two episodes.
How do you not know this?
Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for our coverage of The Happily Ever After. Actually, it's episode 3 and 4. Lon, any other things that you'd like to cover?
You know, I haven't really known or been into the P. Diddy trial since we talked about it last. Or not the trial, but the allegations. I know that there's, like, progress being made. But outside of that, yeah, I haven't really been keeping tabs on what's going on with that.
Well, the last time we talked about this is when his sons got arrested, right? Because they raided their homes in LA and now, Miami. Yeah,
his son is like SA. There's some SA allegations.
Yeah. Some, I think they're tying it to RICO as well, like racketeering. Mm. But I think there was some controversies surrounding the attorney that filed this allegation. So I think because he named some of these defendants, right? Or he named the perpetrators, and man, they came out guns blazing. Like, they had their lawyer throw him a heck of a shade. Like, basically what the attorney is being accused of is, you're not doing a lot of your due diligence and research before you name my clients. And this is not Didi's attorney. This is like the attorney for like Motown Records, because he named all those people, like the big guns, right? Like Lucienne Grange or something, the CEO of Universal Music or something. Like, those people send their lawyer to attack the lawyer that filed the lawsuit against Didi. And basically saying like, hey, you're putting these people on blast, but you don't have anything substantive to accuse them of. Like, this is all like, you're just bundling it all with Didi. And I don't know if it's a countersuit, but the shade that was thrown, it's wild. Like, you guys have to check it out. I think there are some TikToks about it going around. Otherwise, I'm still seeing like stories about J-Lo on my For You page. People coming out of the woodworks with those J-Lo stories, man. Like, there's always something new every day. I don't know if it has died down. I think I sent you that thing about Corey Gamble, you know, Kris Jenner's boyfriend, like him having ties with Diddy and Jay-Z, and like he's like sort of like a handler.
Yep.
Yeah, that's highly suspect. So
yeah, that's gonna go down.
Yeah, I don't know what's the latest, but yeah, I think hopefully like all the things in the dark will come to light, right, as they call it.
So like, he sold, I think, his shares of Revolt, or like he's stepping away from Revolt. Like,
yeah,
the timing is just sus. Right?
Yes.
Why would you do that if you didn't? Yeah.
But you know what's more sus? What's more sus is Kim Kardashian unfollowing P. Diddy a day before his house got raided.
Mm-hmm. There's just all these things. They're starting to add up.
Yeah. Like, someone knows something. Something's about to go down. So, yeah.
Have you been watching anything interesting?
Well, aside from Three Body Problem, that hopefully we'll get to it once you finish the series. Not really, I guess. Not really. I like watching What We Do in the Shadows on Hulu. I'm not sure if you guys watch that, but that's the show about vampires living in Staten Island, which is super funny. It's one of those like comedic shows, 30 minutes long each episode. Easy watch, but very funny.
I haven't watched a lot either. I think on my trip to Japan, I finished a physical 100.
Oh.
I don't know if anyone watches that. That's a fun watch. Yeah, it's a fun watch.
Wow. So who won? Is it a dude?
It was a dude.
A dude.
All right. Yeah. It's tough not to be, because there are some physical challenges, especially in the very end, that does take a lot of strength. And it's just like, it does lean. Let's just say, I don't know if there will ever be a
female
woman
winner.
Yeah. Female winner.
Oh, yeah. Because some of those challenges do look tough. Like, a lot of upper body strength, a lot of, strenuous challenges. Like, I'm not saying women can do it, but
to be fair, because I thought about that too. I was like, well, that would be unfair. But the way they try to even the odds by making mm-hmm. some of them team challenges, by making some of them endurance challenges, you know, who's going to gas out first, right?
Yeah.
So I think it evens out the playing field there. But I noticed in the end, there are challenges that are like pure strength almost. And it's like, So one of them was like infinite squats. I think that was in the finale episode.
Damn.
And yeah, maybe a woman can squat infinitely, but each round they put more weight and more weight and more weight. So it doesn't just become about endurance. Now it becomes about strength and endurance. And if a woman can do an infinite squats, you know, the more they add weight to it, yeah. will she have the strength then to progress? So,
wow.
Yeah, anyway.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's a crazy show. Yeah, it's entertaining. I like to watch it.
Have you watched The Gentleman on Netflix? Maybe not.
I have. I know which one. The Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie one. Yeah.
Yeah. Why didn't we talk about this earlier? That's so good. I liked it a lot.
I haven't. So I'm going to hold off on that. But it's on my list. I think there's another one that I think I might have conflict that and the movie that's coming out that's sort of like Guy Ritchie-ish.
Yes.
The War of
Ungentlemanly People or something. Yeah, yeah, I know yeah, which yeah. one you're talking yeah. about.
Yeah. Is that Guy Ritchie too? Because it just yeah, it looks is. Like it. Yeah. Anyway. All right, Lon, let's wrap it up. Any last words from you?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe a controversial take. Uh-oh. If anybody cares. Rest in peace, O.J. Simpson.
Wait, what?
He died today. He died this morning.
Shut breaking news for me, y'all. Breaking news for me. What happened?
Cancer, apparently. I didn't even know. I had no clue.
Yeah, I just Googled it. Wow. Oof. Okay. That explains why I keep getting like pop-ups about O.J. Simpson, but none of it says anything but death. But yeah, oh, that makes sense now. Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
I guess he...
I mean, I didn't care too much for the guy, but he just had such an impact on pop culture, and not for a good reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a big name. He was more famous for the case than for his football career.
Yeah.
So,
well,
me,
and his movies.
On the movies.
The movie, the Naked Gun movies. He's a San Francisco native.
Yeah.
Man. Yep. Well, the guy that villainized white Broncos.
Yeah. And if the glove fits, right? That's a thing because he made it a thing.
Yep. Yeah, man. Wow. Yeah. Notoriety. Unfortunately, right? But yeah, man, all right. That's a heavy news to end. I was going to say like happy Eid or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, happy Eid, happy tax day even. But damn, OJ got to steal it again. Okay. All right. Well, on that note.
All right, y'all. We're going to call it.
Till next time. Be nice to one another. Bye.